minutes. So yeah, I'm going to hand over to you, Ben.
I'm Ben, I'm an addict. Yeah, it's nice to be here tonight. Thanks to Layla for the chair. It's really kind of good. I kind of sort of listening to it and thinking about what I want to say. And I was just thinking about that now, and then I got lost on kind of. I was sort of thinking about my day today, and then I was thinking about. I was walking around with my girlfriend, and there's a big, big sort of group of Turkish blokes saying something about her breasts earlier. And I kind of really wanted to have a fight with them, and then Simon introduced me to do the share. So that's where I was a couple of minutes ago. Bastards. So anyway, here I am. It's kind of weird. I'm coming up to sort of 7 to 7 years clean, which is pretty, you know, it's pretty fucking amazing, really. And what's even more amazing is how kind of how quickly it's gone. It's really gone. It's really gone kind of fast. It hasn't really been dull. It's kind of periods of it have been kind of life is, but it's kind of it's been fairly eventful, kind of one way or another. And when I came around, I was just thinking, what Layla was saying earlier, kind of being in that space of kind of really fucking not wanting to use at all. Now, this is my understanding of powerlessness, is kind of getting in that space of really not wanting to use and knowing I was fucking absolutely destroying myself, you know, with every drug I used. And but just being overwhelmed by that kind of compulsion to use. Someone was sharing it in the meeting the other night. They cannot, they just couldn't fucking, this compulsion was just fucking on him and overwhelming him. And I just kind of, I was back there, just fucking, like a flashback, so fucking powerful. I remember kind of, I remember trying to get clean, coming to meetings. I got clean when I was 20, just coming up 21. I remember coming to meetings when I was 19, using heroin, and getting like 3 weeks clean and just being fucking, just could not get it out, all the time, just in my nut was to go and score. And I kind of, remember my mum saying she'd get me something off the catalogue. I'll get you something off the catalogue for staying clean. And I was looking through, and I was looking at all the everyone in the thing. I was thinking, they're all pinned. They're all fucking pinned. Looking through the thing, kind of, just kind of everywhere I looked, was kind of was heroin. As far as everyone was pinned. My fucking next door neighbours were kind of at it. Everyone was kind of. Everyone had gear other than me. And I kind of go back there now, and it sort of doesn't seem to be quite. Doesn't seem to be quite so much of it around. I think it's maybe more about me. So anyway, kind of the thought, step one of that kind of obsession and sort of and the powerlessness and the kind of and then the compulsion to use again and just kind of being in that vicious cycle of the first one being being too many and 1,000 never being enough. Cliche, but it's totally true. And sort of thinking about kind of the very first meetings that I kind of came to and the stuff that really kind of stuck with me. And NA was very alien to kind of my way of thinking before I got here. Really kind of everything about it was pretty revolutionary. I remember a bit about drugs or drug paraphernalia at the start. I remember kind of being in meetings with kind of gear on me and stuff, and I must be the only person ever in the history of NA to do it. Went outside and plotted it up. I was kind of a bit blown away, NA had a massive sort of cosmic kind of weight, and I'd have to go and plot it up. But I'm glad I kind of did. But the whole thing, coming into NA, kind of, I suppose my upbringing. Am I using and how I was, everything about it was kind of me hiding who I was away from, hiding behind a kind of big sort of shield of kind of drugs and kind of behaviours and kind of, doing anything I could to kind of avoid showing you kind of kind of who I was. You know, I kind of had a pretty odd childhood. Sort of intermittently pretty violent. My old man's alcoholic. No, it's just a very familiar story. And you know, I kind of don't blame any of that for my kind of using. And I'm always interested, you know, when they're kind of doing their sort of studies into this sort of stuff. I don't really know about all that. I can't really. But I do know that some of what it left me with some stuff that in recovery, some kind of like behaviours and ways of coping with things that I can't ignore. I have to kind of pay heed to this stuff, you know, because I carried some real sort of damage into recovery, you know, with me. And so the sort of course of that and the kind of the chaotic family and then my kind of chaotic drug using, you know, I mean, my story, my kind of, my using, certainly by the standards of some of the stuff I've heard in NA, is you know, is moderate. It's kind of, you know, that would have been the biggest insult on earth to me when I came in here, you know, for someone to have called me moderate. You are a moderate addict, you know. But I don't know what I'd have done, probably nothing at all, but I've inwardly seethed, plotted murder, but just used a bit more. But you know, the kind of, you know, some of the magnitude of what I've heard in it, kind of, my story's moderate. But kind of the place I'd got to was one of sort of such kind of, so kind of lost and isolated inside, and kind of such mental sort of damage. And later was talking about kind of mental torture, kind of, and that really is kind of, that's my rock bottom, that's what I got clean, kind of, you know, running from, this kind of mental anguish and kind of agony just brought on by, you know, an absolute inability to control my using for any, you know, great period of time. I got sectioned smoking crack when I was 17. Got put on a massive big dose of antipsychotics and benzos and fucking everything, and I was kind of, you know, agoraphobic and kind of hallucinating and all this kind of stuff. And as soon as I was, you know, able to get to the end of the road without kind of freaking out again, I was having a drink, having a sniff, washing it up, smoking rocks again, and then back in there. You know, kind of, I was in, you know, for the last 3 years of my using, that's the kind of headspace I was in and out of, just that kind of, got run, you know, I remember getting run over, smoking rocks, walking back to my friend's house. I used to play this sort of game of kind of, if I don't get home in 1,000 steps, I'll get possessed by the devil. And crossing the road, you know, 5:30 in the morning, I had a knife tucked in the back of my trousers, wrapped up in a flannel. I got hit by a car, I went over the top of the car, the knife stuck in my arse. There's blood all over the fucking knife. I've got up in the middle of the road and pulled this bloody knife out of my arse. The geezer just jumped back in his car and fucking driven off, and I'd lost count. And I got in, and I'm kind of, you know, waking my mother up, totally freaking out, because I think I'm possessed by the fucking devil, kind of smashing the house up. And that's kind of, that's sort of how I, you know, I'm a basket case when I use that sort of, but that kind of, I guess what I learned with the step one, I just couldn't get enough, you know, distance for me to see what I was kind of, where I was. I knew, by the time I came to NA, I knew, although I didn't know the word for it, I knew I was powerless. And I knew that left to my own devices, I'd just come to the conclusion I'm going fucking nowhere. Left to my own devices, this is it. This is what I've got to look fucking forward to. Just kind of getting binned off and going to court for things I can't remember. You know, I wind up in jail sooner or later. And just a round of kind of doctors, prescriptions, scoring, blah, 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 blah. You know, just forever ad nauseum. And I was totally sick of it. And so when I came to NA, I think the first thing that hit me, you know, kind of just the language. I'd never heard, no, it really was quite revelatory to me. I'd never heard anyone communicate like that before. One of the first things I heard was, we are not under surveillance at any time. And I sort of knew I must be, that's like something that kind of, you know, massively sort of reassured me. I thought, whoever fucking wrote that really knows about me, kind of, you know. It's like, it's the first thing I thought. I walked in there, I was like, you know, kind of, sort of first four or five things in my mind, you know, are we being watched, would have been one of them. So So, and then, of course, I thought, well, if they've got to say that, and obviously we probably are, like they've kind of got to reassure you that. But, so, you know, and the next sort of, I kind of saw the steps up on the wall, and I saw God, you know, sort of, I don't know, you know, kind of God, just the word kind of instills kind of, just sends shivers through me, kind of, you know, absolutely kind of made me sort of shudder out of everything, and just kind of, like, oh, fucking great. You know, I thought I'd circumnavigated the whole question of the meaning of life, you know, on any level. I thought I could avoid it entirely. I'd kind of become obsessed with it in a sort of period of psychosis. But before I sort of had a chance to leap out of my seat and never come back, someone did kind of explain it to me. They said it's a higher power of your choosing. Which, of course, initially my head straight away jumped to, oh, well, what if it's the devil then? What if I automatically kind of choose, you know, just my mind kind of doing anything to kind of get me out the door. But when I could kind of sit down and just hear some stuff in NA, what I heard was there's only one requirement for membership, the desire to stop using, which meant that I could come to meetings, kind of check it out, you know, and sit there and not feel under any pressure, you know, immediately to kind of to take anything on faith. And, you know, to kind of, the long and short of it is I hung around meetings for a year when I was 19. Coming to meetings, I loved what I heard, I loved the identification and everything. I used to get 2 or 3 weeks clean and have a drink. So I thought that's what you had to do when you're young, and I'd start using again, I'd get a habit again. Smoke a few rocks again, kind of my nut would go again, I'd be back in meetings, blah, you know, this kind of endless sort of cycle. So my reservation was around not drinking. A year of that, and I realised I'd kind of just fucking, basically I admitted step one after kind of a year of that, I realised I couldn't use anything, I couldn't separate anything off into a special kind of, a special category. As a sort of separate thing, I just realised that I kind of, whatever it is in my makeup, I cannot, you know, predict my kind of, the course of my using. I can't control for any, you know, substantial period of time my using. And as a consequence of that, I wound up going into treatment, which is not, I went into a 12-step treatment centre and we worked the steps. Which was kind of wonderful for me. I worked steps 1 to 5. I got really into NA, I got involved in service, and I fucking loved it. I had never felt all that kind of, you know, what Layla was talking about, the kind of chasm inside, the sort of swirling void, you know what I mean, that I used to have when I kind of shut my eyes and just feel like a pair of eyes kind of floating through nothingness. You know, it was kind of filled up for me. I learned absolute every day. I kind of had a new sort of revelation about him, you know, kind of about me and my behaviour and insight into myself, and kind of I was able to kind of make amends with my family and kind of be back as kind of part of that, and just feel like a human being. I felt fantastic. I really did. I felt very, very grateful to be clean. I had a difficult about 6 months clean. I kind of, what happened basically, my kind of little proviso with myself when I got clean was that if I was still mad, you know, still psychotic without all the rest of everything, after a year, if it wasn't any better, I was just going to kill myself. If that was my deal. If after a year of trying my best at all this, if I was still fucking crazy, if my head was still the same, if I still had all that kind of fear and madness going around, and I was just going to check out because I could not handle the fucking, I couldn't see a life really with that. Could not see kind of, you know, where I was going to, where any of that was kind of, you know, when it was going to leave, where, you know, I just couldn't see a future with it. And about 6 months in, I started having kind of like mini sort of seizures and stuff. I'm really kind of getting quite ill and sweating and hallucinating, and it sort of came back. And I guess, you know, everything maybe or maybe doesn't happen for a reason, I don't know. I kind of sort of think that I got this when I was ready for it, and I got out of massive, big secondary withdrawal of all the weird prescription medication I was on. And I just always share this stuff because I know sometimes you get people in the rooms on that stuff, and kind of there's all sorts of advice gets kind of bandied around about it. One of the first things anyone ever said to me in NA was, never listen, can I give you some advice? I said, yeah. I said, never ever listen to anyone who gives you any advice. And I think it's a fantastic, it's one of the best things I've ever heard. I sort of went through this kind of secondary withdrawal and I came out the other side of it, and what I'd got in that 6 months was enough to carry me through it, basically. I had a step two and three, and I just believed that there was something that I could tap into. I didn't have a clear definition of it. There's nothing in any of the literature that tells you you have to be religious or have a clearly defined higher power. Mine's kind of changed and sort of mutated into various sort of whatever. You can pick your own higher power. It's kind of no, there's nothing set, kind of set in stone in this. It's kind of, so 6 months in, I kind of went through this, and I had enough to kind of come out the other side of it. And I came out of treatment, you know, really fucking grateful just to have something that actually kind of worked for me. What Layla was saying, I thought, when I saw it, I thought, there's no way that can work for me. It'll work for everyone else because they're just drug addicts. Whereas I have got many, you know, myriad complex troubles that these people can't possibly understand, and this wasn't designed to cope with. You know, I know that I've got, you know, extremely complex problems because I've been to see about 500,000 different people. I've been sent to about 50 different places by various doctors and courts and whatever, and none of them have made any difference to me. So how on earth can a bunch of people sitting around in a drafty church hall with some kind of dog-eared old posters on the wall are going to kind of, you know, sort me out? I really don't know. But it started to work. I came out of treatment, I got a sponsor who gave me an amazing bit of advice to follow up the first bit of advice someone had given me. He said, if anyone comes up, because I was sort of 20, 21, and I used to attract this kind of people telling me, I'm so lucky to get this so young. I realise that now, thanks whoever said that to me. But back then I just went, fuck off with you. For fuck's sake, listen to yourself. You know what I mean? Don't tell me I'm fucking lucky. Anyway, you know, I do realise it, but at the time, you know, I used to struggle so much with that. I used to think, no, you got away with it. You got away with it for another 20 years. I'm sat here on a Friday night, you know, six other people in, and watching people going out sort of shagging each other and kind of going to the pub out of the window, kind of. I do over-dramatise a little bit, you know, but I did, you know, I very much had that kind of sense, that kind of, I knew I couldn't use, and I didn't want to use, but I found it hard to kind of you know, meet people kind of I could identify with on the level of being an addict, but I found it hard where I was to kind of, you know, make friends really. But I stuck in there because I knew I was onto a good thing. And the advice that he gave me was, if anyone gives you advice, say thank you very much for your advice. Can you tell me what your experience is? And so this is the lessons I've learnt in NA, just to listen to experience, really. Not to kind of compare too much everything else, because everyone's different, we're all individuals and stuff, but kind of listen out for the similarities and you know, what you can gain from someone else's experience. And that's kind of, that's what kind of kept me coming back, just because I'd be, you know, especially where there was like two meetings a week where I got clean, and kind of, you know, everyone else was like twice my age. And so I couldn't always identify with people who kind of spent, you know, as long as I've been alive in jail, or kind of had used for longer than I've been alive and all this stuff. And it would have been really easy for me to look at all the differences and go out the door, you know, and be dead really, really quickly. I mean, I look back at my peer group, the people I kind of grew up with and used with, you know, a sizable chunk of them, it's like sort of 15, kind of 16 of them have died since I've been in recovery, all under 30. I had one of my best friends got 18 months clean, picked up on the Friday, came in to see me at work. The last words I ever said to him were, what the fucking hell do you want me to do about it? You know, he'd used on the Friday morning, and they found him dead on Sunday morning. And that kind of, you know, that's kind of been repeated with a couple of other people. You know, plenty of people, you know, people I know have been murdered, fucking killed themselves, just kind of all the madness that goes with kind of using. So my kind of journey, you know, I've just kind of stuck with NA really. It's kind of, it's not been, I always share this, I always share, you know, same old stuff, because the story doesn't change. It's still it's not been kind of, when I came around and I used to hear people sharing that kind of 3-4 years clean and stuff, I used to think, I don't know, I just thought I'd kind of gravitate upwards, you know, from sort of rock bottom upwards towards kind of sort of spiritual and material nirvana, kind of. The more enlightened I got, obviously the more money I would get, and you know, and I was really young, so obviously by the time I kind of got to about this age, I'd be totally sorted on every level. I'd just be totally together, kind of sort of spending 6 months of the year in the Caribbean and kind of 6 months going around sort of sponsoring people and kind of guest speaking and kind of conventions and stuff. Didn't quite work out that way. I did get invited to speak at a convention earlier this year, but I got into an enormous argument with a train guard at Euston at 6:45 in the morning, and I never got there. So my dream didn't quite come true in that way. But the curve of my recovery, anyway, has not been this sort of. It's not been a straight road kind of upwards towards anything. It's been kind of really. It's been a kind of rocky road, and at times it's been kind of a lonely road. You know, there's like crossroads I've come to in NA when I've had to make decisions and I've decided to do stuff that's kind of, you know, when I've decided to do things that are right for me, it's sometimes kind of, you know, it's been like big sort of painful decisions. It's meant kind of letting go of people and letting go of old places and kind of, and like, and members of my family, you know, kind of, it's meant like living with a lot of unresolved stuff. Now I thought that I would work through the steps and I would resolve everything and everything would resolve itself and there would be happy reunions with all kind of, you know, old grudges would kind of drop away and kind of, it didn't, you know, it really hasn't worked out that way. I did a step 4 and 5 with this sponsor, which was amazing. You know, I just got the insights I got into, you know, aspects of my character, kind of my sort of propensity for kind of arrogance and dishonesty. Just sort of unbelievable, and the isolation it always put me in, you know, kind of arrogance of kind of, I mean, once I've got a definition of a loving higher power, you know, looking at my arrogance in that I know better than God as I understand him in saying that I'm a piece of shit and I'm not as good as the rest of the world and I can't do this, I have no choice but to look at that as quite an arrogant sort of statement, you know, if I believe that there's something greater than me that kind of has love or sort of compassion for me, and to think I kind of somehow to conclude that I kind of know better than that, it didn't make sense anymore. And you know, my fear and just realising where I'd, you know, how I'd imprison myself, how I'd kind of seeing it written down in kind of black and white, the sort of box I'd made for myself with kind of sort of the kind of the ancient, you know, the ancient books of the 12-step fellowships, the kind of sort of talk about kind of, you know, the sort of bitter morass of kind of self-pity, the kind of, you know, sort of quicksand of it. And it, you know, kind of that's something I really struggle with. I fucking struggle with it now. It's kind of, it's a recurrent theme for me. You know, kind of just falling into that kind of economic insecurity, kind of, you know, sort of sexual obsession, self-pity. You know, it all just leads into that kind of thing. You know, I'm not good enough. Poor me, kind of moping around the house, kind of, you know, wasting my time. I can't always see it quite like that when I'm in it, and I probably won't take too kindly to anyone ever pointing it out to me in those terms, but it is the truth. I did a step 6 and 7 with a sponsor and moved on and kind of, you know, and did a list of people that I'd harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. I've still not completed all my amends. Of the ones I've made, some went really well. Some just didn't, you know, the situation as itself has yet to be fully amended. I attempted to kind of re-establish a relationship with my father kind of like many times, sort of on 5 or 6 occasions. And I've just had to sort of come back to the kind of conclusion that maybe he's too unwell to be able to handle kind of that sort of thing. It's been like that's been like a tough admission for me to make. But recovery is not always about the kind of it's not about the easy kind of road, is it? You have to face up and kind of accept some fairly unpalatable truths along the way. And so that's, you know, that's been a big part of my journey, kind of living with and accepting the truth, you know, kind of as it stands. And kind of, you know, I'm a natural kind of dreamer, I'm a daydreamer, you know, kind of without drugs, it kind of, I'm even further in kind of dreamland. If I'm not doing anything about myself, I have to be, because reality becomes unpalatable. And so sort of, you know, I have to look at the reality of the situation, and the reality is the higher power that I've chosen doesn't actually put noughts in my bank account. And kind of, some people seem maybe have got one of them, but mine doesn't. And as it couldn't, you know, because the way I view all that stuff is kind of pretty much utterly evil and sort of revolting. So it would be a bit of a shame if I'd have to pick Satan. I'd have to pick the devil as my higher power if I was going to sort of embrace all that sort of stuff. So, you know, you kind of, it pays your money, it takes your choice, I suppose, don't you? And so I kind of, cut a long story short, life's not easy, is it? And I've got to be clean. So I have to kind of crack on and live in the real world. I've been kind of involved in, you know, I've learned a lot. Everything I do in recovery, the lesson's not there immediately, but providing I kind of stay clean and remain or regain my willingness to look at the situation at some point, I usually see there's a kind of big lesson in things. You know, I came out of a relationship last year that was in for 2.5 years, and you know, it was utterly, by the end of it, utterly kind of poisonous. You know, two people utterly incapable of kind of communicating with each other. And at the time, I was heartbroken. You know, I came out of it, I was absolutely devastated. You know, I kind of just couldn't, you know, I couldn't even bring myself to kind of talk about it. I was just like, oh, kind of choked up in agony with it. And kind of looking back, you know, what a blessing that I'm not in that anymore. You know, what a blessing to kind of get out of that kind of situation. And I guess what I've learned from it, what I'm applying to the relationship I'm in now, is that it's just to kind of keep communicating and not to hang around if that breaks down and if it's not coming back. Because that's, you know, that kind of, people like us, people like me, that kind of, when we stop communicating and get isolated back in ourselves, that's what fucking kills us. You know what I mean? When you're kind of, you know, this is what NA has done for me, just given me something, a medium through which I can communicate on an honest level and be myself to the best of my ability with other people. You know, I suppose on the subject of the best of my ability, you know, that's really all this is to the best of your ability. And my sort of understanding of that has been that some days it's really not very much at all. Some days it's kind of, some days the best I can do is sort of to get out of bed and kind of just be up and kind of have something to eat and kind of, and not use. And that's enough, you know, on those days that's really, really enough, you know. It's more than I could do before. You know what I mean? I wasn't a functioning addict. Some people are. I wasn't. I was just a dysfunctional kind of mess of an addict. And you know, some days in recovery, I've not really been kind of capable of very much at all. But as long as this is my message is, you know, as long as you don't use, one day at a time, you are in with a shout. You know what I mean? Try and keep an open mind as far as you can. I mean, try not, you know. We all have kind of, you know, we all have reservations about this sort of stuff, and I guess, you know, it even says it in the kind of early literature, not to, you don't have to disregard your reservation, you don't have to take anything on faith. You just have to put them to one side, just be open-minded, and you can come back to them. You know, you can work through the steps, and if you don't feel any better at the end of it, go back and pick your reservations up again. But the likelihood is you'll kind of, you will feel a lot better. Yeah, I sort of, it's great kind of going through the steps, you know, just sort of realising I don't have to take any of this stuff. It's not, nothing in it says you have to take a leap of faith anyway. You don't have to take anything on faith. It doesn't say in any of the steps you have to have faith. It says step two, we came to believe, and a belief is an idea. A belief is not faith, it's just the being able to admit the sort of possibility that there might be something outside of yourself. And then step three is just making a decision that you're going to work towards that by doing the rest of the steps. It doesn't say, you know, kind of you did it, it just says you made a decision. You decided you were going to head in that direction. And for me, for me who thought I was, I don't know, I thought I was quite clever. I thought I was cleverer than most of the people that I was at meetings with. I didn't think they were too bright. I did have to have all this explained, you know, and I had to look all these words up in the dictionary to see what they actually meant, because I didn't know. I just kind of, I just assumed. So, you know, that kind of really kind of just changed the way it kind of looked to me, you know, kind of, you know, reading it actually as it was and what it actually meant. You know, it was very different to kind of looking on the wall and just seeing the middle of it, just seeing, you know, sort of higher power, and thinking I was in, I don't know, thinking I was on Oprah Winfrey or something. But, yeah, so sort of, I guess, you know, where I kind of come to now, I'm sponsoring someone, which is kind of, I've had two sponsees before. I had one that used to call me up and say, I'm in Fry and Barnet, I'll be with you in an hour and a half. And then call me like 2.5 hours later and say, I'm in Camden, I'll be with you in 45 minutes. And then call me like an hour later and say, I'll be with you in an hour. And then I'll call him and his phone would be off. And he'll call me 2 weeks later saying, yeah, I'm coming around to see you, we're going to start work on step one today. I'm like, yeah, cool. And then same thing again. And then I had someone who just kept using all the time and sort of turn up pinned. And I'm working with someone now, just starting to go through the steps with him. It's fucking great. You know, it's fantastic. I kind of, I really sort of enjoy it. I'm kind of getting, quite a bit out of it. Just that thing of doing, you know, doing something for someone else, kind of doing, you know, being involved in service. I've done all the commitments around kind of meetings, other than GSR, which I have an enormous reservation about doing, having heard all the stories about the politics that go on at the ASC. I've done the helpline, you know, I've been involved in kind of loads of stuff, and it's all been fantastic for me. I'm kind of going back through the steps with a sponsor and just starting another step four. I've done three step fours. I've learned kind of totally different stuff from each one. The first one was an enormous list of everyone I'd ever met and how much I hated them and what a piece of shit I was, which was great, quite cathartic in terms of a sort of ranting kind of experience. I probably could have gone on one of those sort of primal scream weekends. Would have been just as good. But I did it, you know, I got an idea about it. The second one I did was much more kind of, it was much more kind of just about seeing an inventory, just about seeing self-defeating behaviours, you know, and how they kind of blocked me off from becoming happy. And how they blocked me off from kind of, you know, working towards kind of my higher power, kind of that sort of stuff. So I'm going to do another one again, and I guess what I want to be looking at is sort of fear, and just sort of seeing how, I think, you know, one of the conclusions I've sort of come to is that everything, every resentment that I cop, you know, every kind of sort of bit of avoidance I do, it seems to be kind of based in sort of fear, just sort of fear that there, you know, this sort of poverty mentality that I kind of retreat to, if there won't be enough, I'm not enough, there isn't enough. So grab it all while you can and don't share it with anyone else, and kind of, you know, it's kind of that real sort of addictive kind of sort of, where's the next meal coming from? I better eat four times as much of this one. You know, don't know. And kind of that sort of thing, and it's still fucking, you know, records. It's what it kind of, it's what it kicked in with me and for a sort of few years, kind of, you know, sort of scrabbling around and kind of, I've got to buy everything at once and I might never see it again, you know, kind of, just fucking nonsense. You know, just kind of, that sort of obsessiveness and the fear, you know, in me, what I find is that the fear kind of drives that, you know, and kind of can kind of block everything else out, you know, kind of, you know, sort of a lot of my kind of, my fears the last time I sort of did one about, you know, just really simple stuff, I kind of, just about kind of fear of just ever being able to sort of hold down a job and kind of, you know, and now my fears are, am I always going to have to hold down a job? Kind of, you know what I mean? I kind of, really wanting to sort of run away from some of that stuff. How am I doing for time? Sorry. 5 minutes. So things sort of change in recovery, and I'm excited about going back through this sort of stuff again. I've got some amends from the first time that I still need to make, some financial amends that I've never been in a position to really do. I've got amends to make to people, you know, through recovery, people that I've kind of hurt in recovery. You know, kind of times when I've been a real sort of shitty person to be involved with, to be kind of around. This is part of my journey. Instead, it's kind of been like that. It's been really up and down. It's not been a smooth ride. And I guess now I don't expect the future to be a smooth ride. I've come into the conclusion that I'm going to have to give up on the idea of life being easy, because it just isn't, is it? It's not going to work out that way. But I really enjoy it. I was really tired coming down here tonight, and I was just thinking, fucking hell, I'm really knackered. The tube's all fucked. It's really hot. I've got this meeting. What am I kind of going to say? And when I got in here, I just sort of got that feeling about kind of just being in the right place and doing something which isn't kind of, if I was running on my self-will, you know, this isn't what I'd, if I kind of really resort to kind of, this isn't my, you know, my first choice of what I'd be doing if I had absolutely everything my way. But what I realise is that having everything my way leads me into trouble. I don't really know what else I want to share. I kind of didn't come out how I wanted it to come out, and it never does. There's loads of things I wanted to say before Simon was going to me, tell them some pikey stories, tell them about... And I just couldn't think of any to say. And Simon wanted me to say about being kind of, when I was a kid, being sort of 6'2" when I was kind of 13, getting beaten up because all the other kids when we were out in this other town used to think I was a sort of weirdo kind of hanging around with... sort of 20-year-old man kind of hanging around with sort of 10-year-old kids or something. Getting off, got punched by this kid, I had a sovereign ring imprint in my forehead for about 3 weeks. Knocked clean off my feet. But I didn't manage to incorporate them, you know, in the context of what I was saying. But I guess the point is, you know, is that not using one day at a time and sticking around here and just kind of giving it your best shot. And just kind of trying to stick with people who will encourage you and kind of not I think the phrase is kind of sticking with the winners, but that doesn't necessarily mean sticking with the people turning up in a kind of Ferrari kind of sharing how great everything is the entire time. Not that, you know, if everything's great and you've got a Ferrari, I'm not fucking dissing you. I'm just saying, don't have that as your only criteria for kind of hanging out with people. Not that I would have done anyway, I'm sure no one would anyway. Probably a totally pointless thing to say. However, I digress yet again. Sticking with the winners, sticking with people who are kind of going to, you know, just ahead in the same sort of direction as you and are kind of going to help you out. I'm really grateful to be clean. I really am. The longer I go on, I hate to say it, but those people who used to come up to me and tell me, you're really lucky to get this so young, you would be really grateful. And I used to think, fuck off. I really do think I am really fucking grateful. I'm so glad I hung around. I'm so grateful to all the people who kind of helped me out and were patient with me. I've got some great friends in NA who've looked after me in some pretty fucking dark times. You know what I mean? Who've sort of rallied around me and really helped me out. I believe that is 43 and a half minutes, Simon.
Okay. Thanks, Ben.